We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
It was Passover. Satan entered Judas, leaving the others. He conspired to become disloyal to Jesus. At the proper timing, Jesus sat down with his friends. Taking bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup, saying, "This cup is my blood poured out for you." But they had no idea what he really had meant. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me. Peter interrupts and says, "I'd die for you." "Peter, you will deny you know me 3 times. There are difficult times ahead. So the saying goes, pawn your coat and get a sword, because the scripture will come true and get its final meaning in me, that I am included with criminals." Jesus prayed, "Father, remove this cup from me, but please do not what I want, what do you want?" As he prayed, sweat wrung from him like drops of blood poured off his face. No sooner did he wake up his friends than a crowd showed up. Judas, in the lead, came right up to Jesus and betrayed him with a kiss. And Jesus said, "What is this? Jumping me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? But do it your way. It's a dark night, a dark hour." Good evening. Welcome to our Good Friday remembrance service. Tonight will be a bit different than a normal Sunday morning, as you will see. A theologian I like said this: "A celebration at the empty tomb is incomplete apart from the contemplation at a bloody cross." You could say it this way: it's not reverent to sing "It's a Glorious Day" or "Oh Happy Day" without singing "On a Hill Far Away" first. We all have seen that meaning in life usually comes through valleys. If you're a sports fan, you know that the more intense the loss, the more victorious will the next win be. We learn from our losses to be better the next time. I encourage you tonight to do this. Create space to mourn. Just a short time together. We're going to receive communion. We're going to do a couple of other things. Create space to mourn. I don't expect you to cry out loud, but I would say this: take your phone, put it on silent, which you probably already always do. And then, if you could, in a way, press pause on your life. That's what Good Friday services are for. Before Easter comes, just press pause. In a few minutes, we will receive communion together. During communion, I want you to put yourself in the place of the prodigal son. You know, the son that walked away from his father. He took all of his wealth and left and spent it on sinful lifestyles. And allow yourselves to have the emotions that he must have felt, because we are the prodigal son. When he came back to his father, he came towards him and he was afraid. He came towards him and he was worried that his father would not accept him. We know how his father received him, but he wasn't sure. And I would ask you to come with that posture today, with a tension between your sin and your forgiveness. Each of you received a piece of paper when you came in tonight. It's going to be something you've probably never done before. Maybe you've done this before. We're going to nail those pieces of paper to a cross in just a couple of few minutes. What I want you to do in this time, in the darkness of this time, it's probably better that no one can see what you're writing, not even yourself. I want you to write either a prayer request on your piece of paper. I want you to write an addiction, a sin, maybe a declaration of what you're going to do differently from here on out. Well, I'm perfect. I don't need to do that. Well, then if you're perfect, you leave your paper blank. It's a white paper to symbolize when you put it on the cross, Jesus makes your life white as snow. There'll be hammers up here. There'll be nails. And if I don't say this later, there will be splinters in this cross. So be careful. Bring your kids up. If the kids want to do it with you, bring them up with you. Take their time. Take your time. We'll have some worship. But be careful, because the cross is real. It's not nicely sanded. Whatever you write, it should be something you want Jesus to take off of you and let him bear it on the cross. During this few minutes together, allow yourself to sense the tension between sacrifice and forgiveness. Thank you, my brother. And then, whatever you walked into this place carrying tonight, you will release it and let King Jesus carry your sin to the cross.
For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roar. Thank you.
If you guys would take your communion, we are going to partake in that right now. And I don't want to, I just want to be intentional tonight about the weight of what we are doing here. Because it's easy to just kind of go through the motions with this, right? But the reality of why we are doing, why we partake in communion signifies just the impact that Jesus had. And the fact that him dying on the cross was radical. It was truly groundbreaking, this idea of what he's doing here. And before he goes to the garden and is betrayed, Jesus has Passover with his disciples. And it is during there that he completely reinterprets the Passover meal. And when the bread at the Passover at the beginning, the head of the meal said, "This is the bread of affliction which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Let everyone who hungers come and eat. Let everyone who is needy come and eat the Passover meal." And everything eaten at the Passover meal had a symbolic message to the suffering and the enslavement during Egypt, from the bitter herbs to the salt water. And then you had the main course, which was a lamb that was sacrificed specifically for that meal. And that it didn't represent, that lamb didn't represent any of the hardships of Egypt, but it connected the sin-bearing sacrifice that allowed judgment of God to pass over the household. And so for Jesus, as we read in Luke chapter 22, that Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and he broke it. And then he said, "This bread, this is my body." It was radical because he was placing himself in that position. So this evening, as you take the bread, I just want you guys to remember what his body went through for us. The crown of thorns that was placed on his head, the beatings that he received, the whippings and all the lashings that he had, and then the nails that he took for us. So as you take the bread, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
We talk a lot about the blood of Jesus as believers. It's not an uncommon topic. It's not really something that we even go a Sunday morning without talking about, but on Good Friday, on the day that we reflect on what Jesus did on the cross, I want to remind you of the price that was paid. Because if we treat the blood of Jesus like it was just a ticket into heaven, it's just our pass so that we don't go to hell, you're cheapening the price that was paid for your life. Because the blood of Jesus, yes, it does cover the entrance fee into heaven, but it does so much more than that. When I was looking and studying about what the blood of Jesus does, I came across this list, and it has scripture references for everything, so I'm not going to take the time to read all of them, but I promise you, each of these things is backed up by what the Bible says. The blood of Jesus has the power to redeem us, to reconcile us to God, to pay our ransom, to wash away our sin, to forgive us, to free us, to justify us, to cleanse us of guilty conscience, to sanctify us, to open the way to the presence of God, to give us peace, and to overcome the enemy. The blood of Jesus is not just a pass into heaven. It is so that you can live life here in freedom, so that you can live life here experiencing the presence of God before we even get to heaven. So today, as we take communion, as we symbolically drink the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins, I want you to reflect on the price that was paid. And ask yourself, am I walking in all the things that the blood of Jesus has bought for me? Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed and for your body that was broken. Lord, we thank you for this tradition that we have, because it sets our hearts and our minds on you, and it reminds us why we follow Jesus, because of the utmost love that you have, Lord, that you would sacrifice yourself for our sins. So, Lord, today we thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take blood.
A reading from Isaiah. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their face. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is so silent, so he did not open his mouth.
We're going to sing a couple of familiar hymns, and this is the time that you fold up that paper tightly or loosely. And I'm going to ask you to do something different. Maybe you haven't done it before. I'm going to just demonstrate. You can nail as hard as you want, depending on how much you want to get rid of that sin, or you can just nice and lightly. But we're going to fit all of these on here, and before we're finished, this cross is going to be white as snow. With the sins that we have put on the cross, Jesus makes us whole. So we're going to do that right now. Feel free when you're ready. There are hammers right here. Just come on up. Go ahead and lead us, Nate.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful depiction of what Jesus did for us. That day, however, was not beautiful. And I try to be careful to not be too serious for kids that are in the room, but also, it was a serious day. I want you to understand that there is not a movie that depicts how terrible that day was. We say of The Passion, I remember when that came out, it's rated R because it's so realistic. It is not even close to what Jesus experienced. In fact, I don't know of any other person, and theologians even look at this, who was ever scourged by the Romans and crucified. They were either one or the other because the scourging was so terrible that the person usually dies, and the 39 lashes or the 40 lashes is a myth because that was a Jewish law. The Romans' law, they could do as many lashes as they wanted. It was a horrific event. Jesus was tortured in a horrific way, and I won't get into it anymore tonight except to say this. That I can't help but think those people that were there that night, similar to some of you when you go through difficult times, that even though this was a beautiful thing that happened, they did not understand what had happened. When he said, "It is finished," they assumed he said, "I quit." Or we assume that he said, "I quit." People through the ages say that. But the word, "it is finished," was tetelestai, which meant my payment is paid for you in full. It was an accounting term. It had to feel like hope died. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like hope has died in some area of your life. This is where Good Friday applies to you. We invite you, first of all, to come back in 3 days. It will feel much less like a funeral and more like a wedding when we celebrate what happened next. But also remember this. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it is paid in full. When he said it is finished, it meant that he had paid in full for your healing, for your sin, already paid on the cross. It meant that whatever you might have written on your paper tonight that you nailed to the cross is finished. He's paid for it. Here is the tension, though. The disconnect is that we don't always see the victory right away, right? Oh, it's Good Friday, Jesus, what he did. I know, I learned this in fifth grade. Jesus did this for me. We don't always see the victory right away because, why? Because we are a work in progress. I could say it like this. You are a piece of work. Even if you feel like he hasn't come through, can I remind you, and listen to this, and we're almost finished. Can I remind you, Jesus did say it is finished, it's paid in full. It's time to receive it. You can receive it, be encouraged, but your story isn't over yet. He's got great days ahead for you. Trust him to complete them. It is finished, but you're not finished yet. You can come up. Thank you. We'll dismiss after this song. I encourage you to leave contemplating the cross. We ask that you wait until you get into the lobby to fellowship. At the end of the song, walk out in silence, in waiting for him to finish his work in you, in waiting for the resurrection. It is finished. Now trust him to finish his work in you. Have a blessed evening.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.